All right, let's open up to Mark chapter 5. We are going to be starting at verse 21. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you inspired men to write to us, to get your good news to our hearts and to humanity, to all of the world. Even as we read last week, you are a compassionate God, a kind God. The care that you have for us to give us your word. Open our hearts, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout the whole day and before studying and reading and studying and throughout last Wednesday and tonight, I just look at God's word and how it just enriches my heart. It encourages my heart. And I think about, because I was raised in the Pentecostal churches, the tent revivals of the South. And when the preachers of old would break out the scripture and just scream it and just try to energize you and get you off pepped up, and it was like, okay, I think I'm getting it, you know, I think I'm getting the point across. But there's nothing like just opening God's word and reading it and let it begin to study you where Phil's heart is at. And the testimony that I see of the man of Gadara, you know, once he was cleaned, he had this legion inside of him. And it says that he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. And then it is no secret why people run up to Jesus. How many are connecting to Jesus right now? How many of you connected with him today that he's hearing your need, your heartache, your pain? The guy in the next city is crying out, I have cancer. Or the guy in the next country is saying, my father's dying. And Jesus is hearing all these prayers. He's hearing all these things. And the intensity of his walk throughout this earth. How we went from person to person, event to event, casting out demons, teaching in parables. He ends up with Jairus. He ends up with his woman with the issue of blood, and he continues and he continues and he pours out his life into humanity, saving people, healing people. It is no doubt and no wonder why people run to him and say, I need you. Heal me. Provide for me. Care for me. The need is so great in this world. And we see even from this past week, that Jesus reached the brokenhearted. That those that will not have their little kindergartner this Christmas because of someone else will not have that peace or joy. But that Jesus, hear our prayers. Hear your prayers. A prayer and supplication, make your request be known to God. A peace that passes all understanding goes out. And here Jesus is discipling his men and those around him. You're going to go through this stuff with me. You're going to see people sick and dying, filled with demons. And that is all of humanity. We're sick, we're demonized, we're hurting. And Jesus is the only one that really can save and heal and provide. And his word plainly gives it to us. There's no mystery here. He, as you see, Mark has written Peter's heart because Peter saw the Lord. This is John Mark writing the words of Peter. This is his account, the suffering servant. What a joyful thing, what a great thing to see with the eyes of our heart those things that Jesus did. And it builds our faith to see what Jesus is doing, because Jesus is doing things right now. There are many men and women right now doing stuff for our Lord. This world continues to receive the gospel. There are many that are going out. There are many that are preaching the gospel right now. And the word continues to go. That we be a part of that each and every day. Each and every moment. Where you're at in your job. You might say, well, I don't know. Listen, get into God's word and it will build you up, and your mouth cannot stay shut. It will not be quiet about the goodness of the Lord. It will not. And I find myself, and I may incriminate myself tonight. I'm just sitting there in my classroom at times. And teachers bring kids to me. Talk to this kid. Talk to that kid. I talked to one on Tuesday. I said, what's up with him? You remember me 2 years ago? I said, yeah. I was a jerk back then, right? I was a jerk. I was doing all these crazy things, goofing off, throwing stuff at you, throwing stuff at other teachers. I was a jerk. So our meeting today is about, you know, the jerk is trying to come back. And he's like, yeah, that jerk is trying to come back. I don't want to be that jerk. I said, well, what do you do on Sundays? Oh, we go to church. Oh, and I'm like, oh, really? So you read the Bible at home and you pray? Yeah. You want to pray now? He says, yeah. And I'm like, Lord, reach this kid. And I said, read your Bible. Go home and pray. We'll pray now. We held hands when they're praying in the room. Comes by today, it's like he's bouncing. Hey, how you doing, bro? How's it going? And you encourage those around you. Because this is what the Lord does. He goes from classroom to classroom, from city to city. And now that he has this guy that had been crazy in his right mind and clothed, and he's going to these 10 cities of the region, Decapolis, and he's spreading the good news. And the people we will see in the end here of chapter 5 have all known about Christ, because if you come over to my house, if you just hang, say the word, they know that Jesus has been working. And you and I know that Jesus has been working. And he continues to do that. That our hearts receive him. And I don't have to sit here and like, give faith, you know, rebuke, and just scream. No, it's just watch what the Lord does through his word. Watch what he does. And let's start with Jairus pleads for his daughter. In verse 21, it says, now when Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And now again, what a great multitude, because regardless of their motive, regardless of their whatever, they wanted to see Jesus, and there is a great multitude that gathered to him. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And here we see Jairus. It says here he is a leader, one of the rulers of the synagogue. And he fell at the feet of Christ, at the feet of Jesus. How did he know to ask him, come, what does he say? Come and lay your hands on her. That's what, one of the ways that Jesus touched people. He touched people. And they were made well. Even Paul, or even his shadow. And this is how he operated. Come, if you would please, come lay hands on my daughter, my child. She's point, it says, my little daughter lies at the point of death. And lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. It's not ordinary sickness. It's not the little cough and flu. It is enough to cause a dad to fall at the man, at the feet of this man and beg, please lay your hands on my daughter. Please heal her. She would not die, that she would be healed. It says that so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. How compassionate the Lord is that so Jesus went with him. He goes, you call on his name. You call him. Come, if you would please touch me today, Lord Jesus. If you would heal me today. And I understand that many have sat and many have, and maybe all of you in this room have sat and healing has not come. Now, I do not draw negativity to this scripture. But I have seen the healing of the mind and the heart of people. When salvation comes to a house, man. Now, physical healing, I have never seen. I have never witnessed. It does not discount this story in the Bible either. What I have seen or not seen has nothing to do with what is in here. What Jesus did, he did. What his word says he did, it happened. And there's where we draw our faith. We draw from here that he is kind and compassionate. And when we call on his name, he moves. He comforts. He heals. He goes the extra mile. Because of love and compassion. On his way to this man's house, this ruler of the synagogue, on his way there, through the crowds, he runs into a woman. And it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. And it's not bad enough that you're sick. Then it's worse when it's compounded by the mess that doctors put people through. By experimenting or not knowing or not pinpointing or just, hey, I need your money. And I'll take it. It says it had suffered many things from many physicians. How we are tricked, how we are deceived. And the Lord has to rescue us. It says here, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. This is the exact moment and circumstance that the Lord needs to show up. There's nothing anyone else can do. No one. I've tried many things, and then the last resort was who? Oh, Lord Jesus, please help us. Please help me. Please give me strength. I've tried everything. And it says that everything grew worse. You imagine the agony that she went through. The pain, the nights of crying. We have not talked what was the issue yet. Or it does say the issue is it had a flow of blood for 12 years. Considered unclean. You couldn't be in a home. You couldn't be touched by her. And the list goes on and on. You know, illness or disease at times that ostracizes people. You know, put them to the side. 12 years. My goodness. And then everything continues to get worse. And she heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. How did she know that? She heard about it. How will your neighbor know? How will those in Peru know? How will those in Ghana or those in other places know? Unless someone is sent. Unless you and I open our mouths. Unless you and I say, hey, I'll talk to you. I'll sit down with you. I'll have compassion on you. The Lord has had, man, the worship was so packed with so much tonight. The grace of God, the peace of God, that I can't contain in myself and just say, hey, it's thank you, Lord, and it's just for me. And it says that she had heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, here comes the crowd. She's hearing about him. You see my heart. To reach everyone possible. The hurting, the sick, the diseased, the unpopular, those that don't have it together. Because why? I can check that whole list in my frail humanity. That I need Christ. I need His Word. I need His compassion. And I need to give it out to others. Even as this woman found out, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. Had no reason to touch anyone. She was unclean. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only I may pray tonight and ask the Lord. If only I may seek His face. If only I may fast and pray. If only I may read one more verse, one more prayer, and touch the Lord. For she said, if only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. If you remember the point of salvation when you're saved, and Jesus took the affliction of sin, the guilt of sin off your body, you knew right away. Not that we became sinless Christians or God-fearing people. But we knew the extent of sin had no rule or would. Our sin was forgiven. Those things were cleansed from us. It says that she was healed of the affliction. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? He knew power had gone out. God Almighty knew this power came out of him. He says, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? Not everyone that is touching Jesus is pulling power out of him. I don't know what the motive might be of our heart. Regardless, I don't know if Jesus could see this woman coming at him. Obviously not, because she came in through the back. It says she came behind him in the crowd. It's like, who touched him? She came and touched him. Power came out of him. And she was healed. You see the authority. And this power that is in God to heal what is broken, what is diseased. You see the power in the man of Gadara to cast out a demon or legion. You see the power of God in the ship or the little boat where he calms nature, or the, some say, the demonic involved in nature. How we set the sea at peace. How we set the demonized man at peace. And now we see him healing this woman. This is what this world needs to hear from you and I. To see what the Lord is capable of doing. The power that he has to reach to humanity, to reach those around us. The Lord is able to heal. The Lord is able to cleanse. The Lord is able to calm. The Lord is compassionate. Why do we study this word? Because we see all these attributes of the Lord, that he is a healer. He is compassionate. He has the power to push out what is evil from people, from you and I. The power that he has. I'm not going to sit here and we get ahead like, you have to believe this. This, as you're hearing it, as you're reading it, as you're studying it, what is it doing to your heart and to my heart? What are we going to do with this? This is plain and simple that John Mark wrote this for Peter. The great things that Jesus Christ did for humanity. But his disciples are like, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? I love what the Lord did. And he said, and he looked around to see, verse 32, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. This is a perfect way that it is written to make you understand and to grasp what the Lord wants you to see. And it says, he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, and came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. This is what's up, Lord. I had to touch you. I had to. For 12 years, this has been on my back. I've been out of homes. I've been kicked to the side. I have no neighborhood. I have no husband. With this, you couldn't happen that because of being unclean. And he says he came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. One, he says, go in peace. Two, be healed of your affliction. Go in peace. There is so much peace after the Lord has visited you, has touched you, has touched your heart. Even from teaching, what is it now, 3 weeks here, 4 weeks? Just doing this brings so much clarity to my life and to my heart. Now I know I'm supposed to be a saint and wake up with praise and worship on my lips. But I woke up Sunday morning and I'm singing this crazy song from Nacho Libre. And I'm like, what? I told my wife, what is happening here? I can't explain it. I know my life is continually day by day changes. Even just by studying here and talking, just opening this to you. Where it's like, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. See you later. Just go. Enjoy life. You got a lot to make up. Oh, well, I've been sick. My testimony's like, oh man, I just, 12 years and now Jesus healed me and no, just go in peace. Chill out. Go hang out. Go have Tupperware parties. Go do the thing. Go enjoy life. And while you're Tupperware partying, tell them about Jesus Christ, how he cleansed that whatever blood flow you had. Go in peace. It's like, well, I've been healed. I don't know what else to do. Listen, let the Lord heal you of the whining and complaining and all the things that come along with this life. That is not Jesus that gives us that. Now, Jesus does the work in our heart. He does it for you to rejoice and to have peace. I come to give you peace. I don't want you whining. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction. Ah, what about Paul? He had a thorn in his side. Oh, God, Jesus, take this. No, my grace is sufficient for you. Not, well, it's too bad. Just take it, bro. Just tell the word, okay? Just share. No. Hey, Paul. My grace is sufficient. It's going to be okay. Proclaim my word. Tell them the good news. I know you're hurting. I know you're in pain. I know you. What are they going to say about me? I'm the reverend. I'm the preacher on this. And this is this guy. Paul, go in peace. My grace is sufficient for you. He is for you and I. This night, December 19th, 2012. These words were written over 2,000 years ago, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to teach us, to encourage our hearts. Go, my daughter, in peace. Be healed of your affliction. There's a lot of peace in the Lord. We read in Philippians, that peace that passes all understanding. Be healed of your affliction. John Mark writes it plain and clear. Lord, I just wanted to touch you. I'm telling you the truth. And I knew if I touched you, something would happen. You imagine him turning around on you. What are you doing behind my back? What'd you just do? Would we be like, quit monkeying around back there. This is serious stuff. I'm with my disciples. Don't you know? I'm with the big guys. And she had to go, yeah. And it happened. And the disciples are, what do you mean who's touching you? We're all just rubbing each other here. We've gone crazy. Don't you know you draw the multitudes? And he said, this is the truth, Lord. If I could only touch you, I'd be made whole. And guess what happened? It did happen. The Lord is like, something just came out of me. And it happened. Let's finish off here before I run out of time. I'm sorry. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Jesus is saying, don't buy that. Don't buy that. I don't care what man has told you. It says, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. You might say, why not? There's a lot of people who say, well, we're Calvary Chapel and we have a healing service going on tonight. And we're going to advertise it and bring the radio and the cameras and have everybody here. Jesus wanted none of that. At times, so many multitudes become a hindrance at times to what the plan of God is. And say, well, we need thousands in this room at Calvary Chapel, doesn't it? Really? The Lord knows the numbers He needs here. The Lord knows how many numbers will come here. How many will be healed here. How many? The Lord knows. And He's got that in control, just like He has it here under control. And He said that, and He permitted no one to follow Him, except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And you and I know in the Middle East, you know, a lot of these characters are hired and they begin wailing and everybody's like in a tumult. And, you know, there were the real ones, but then there's spectators there. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? Can you see Jesus walking into these people? This is ever terrible. And Jesus says, why the commotion? What is wrong with you guys? What? He says, the child is not dead, but sleeping. Hey, you can find commentaries that will say, yes, she was dead. No, she wasn't. But what Jesus is saying here is it was not dead. The child was not dead. And I'm not going to bring that point here. It's like, regardless, God did a miracle there. He was thinking in His sense, in His heavenly sense, this thing is, I'm giving this life. Obviously, He did something because they were crying. It says, the child is not dead, but sleeping. All the crying and wailing and all that changed in verse 40, and then they ridiculed him. It went from wailing and whining and be for real. Are you kidding? Because he said, the child is not dead, but sleeping. And then it says here, and they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, listen, when you're talking to someone about the Lord, when you're going to pray for someone about the Lord, you don't need that type of person around. You're not there to perform a miracle in front of monkeys. You're not there for that. If you need to make a show, don't do that with God's Word. Do not. Well, we're going to make an example. See, I've been there. I've told you. Videotape it. Don't do that with God's stuff. He says, but when he had pulled them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said something should be given her to eat. Don't tell anybody. Can you imagine? You're the parents. You're Jairus. Don't say nothing. Don't tell the neighbor. What's wrong with you? Why can't I? I want to tell everything. Because a lot of people with the wrong motive were coming around. And Jesus would have been, poof, boom, boom, rise up, get up, shut up, y'all quit this commotion, stop. And it's like, but Jesus had everything. It was like, I'm going from here to the other side. Remember, he's always speaking the word. I'm going from here to the other side. We're going from here to here. And you got these guys popping out from the cemetery. You got these pigs getting killed. You have all these things, all these commotions going on. In the meantime, he's discipling his men. Because you guys, you're going to face some stuff. You and I are going to encounter some things. And guess what? We bow up. We grab our little Bible. We may have time for our little verse, but we come late at night, we're like, I need to reload for tomorrow. It's 3 a.m. Where's my Bible? And there you go. You reload. What is Jesus telling his disciples? What is he trying to tell me? Where do I need to go with this stuff in my heart? What do I need to do with this? Mark here breaks out Latin. He breaks out here the latest. He's speaking Arabic. Whatever the Lord allows you to do. I hear my son-in-law over in Kuwait. I'm going to learn French, dude. I'm going to learn French. Hey, pour it on. He may go learn French and go to, you know, to France and teach the Muslim that speak French out there. When he said that, my mind is like, oh, he's going to reach somebody. And they're like, yeah, now him, he's going to speak French and Spanish and English. And I'm like, get her. The Lord uses every part of humanity, language, region. And he's like, here, let's go, let's go. And he never stopped. He's, let's go. Once he got baptized, once his ministry started, it was like, go, go, go. You see what the Lord has wanted us to look at tonight. You always look at Bible study to interpret it, to look at it, to investigate it. How do I apply it to my life? And how do I give it to others? What do I do with this? I don't know what the Lord's going to do with you. But I encourage you. Be it to a little kid, when you begin street witnessing, whatever the Lord asks you to do. To your neighbor, the student, to the person at Lowe's. I don't know. We have this great treasure in us. And it's going to do something. He's wanting to do stuff. The Lord wants to go out and play. He wants to go out and do stuff. There's no playing around. There's no doubt that he likes to go out and do stuff. And he always will. What do you say? When I come back, will I find faith? Will I find faith? Let's pray. Lord, how good you are to us. We give you all the glory and the praise for all that you do. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, for coming to this world to die on the cross and to rise again for us. For all of humanity. Tonight, Lord, we move around and rejoice in you, and we are free in you to live this life and life more abundant because of how you reach out and touch us. Come, Lord Jesus, and set us free even more, that our hearts would rejoice and sing your praises. Not some weird freaks, Lord, but you know how you work in our hearts. You know what to do with us and through us. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.